Former Dolphins coach Brian Flores is suing the NFL, three teams allegedly accusing them of racism and lack of integrity in hiring practices in a 58-page lawsuit filed in Manhattan federal court Tuesday that seeks class action status. Flores alleges discrimination regarding his interview processes with the Broncos and Giants and his firing last month by the Dolphins. Flores says Dolphins owner Stephen Ross attempted to incentivize him to tank or purposely lose games shortly after he was hired in 2019, with Ross allegedly offering Flores $100,000 for every game the team lost that season. Flores says that as the team won games late in the season, Dolphins GM Chris Greer told him that Ross was mad that Flores' on-field success was compromising the team's draft position. Flores also says Ross pressured him into recruiting a prominent quarterback at the end of 2019 season, which Flores refused so as to not violate the NFL's rules on tampering. Flores alleged the Giants interviewed him last month for their head coaching vacancy for no other reason than compliance with the NFL's Rooney Rule, which requires teams to interview minority candidates for their open positions. The rule says in part that teams must hold an in-person interview with at least one external minority candidate for any GM or head coach opening. Here's Flores earlier on Get Up.
We need change. That was the number one reason. And I know there's a sacrifice, there's risk to that, but at the end of the day, we need change. That was just a mistake by Belichick. We've all sent the wrong text message to somebody. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, it came to me, and it was almost, you know, it was confirmation that those backroom dealings were happening. The league's filled with 70% of, you know, black players. I know there are capable coaches in this league to lead teams. I have some on my staff. I know the majority of them, I would say. I know what kind of integrity and character and leadership that they have, and they deserve an opportunity, a real opportunity, not a Rooney Rule opportunity where a box is checked.
The Giants, Broncos, and Dolphins have released statements denying these allegations. And in response to the lawsuit, the NFL also releasing the following statement. The NFL and our clubs are deeply committed to ensuring equitable employment practices and continue to make progress in providing equitable opportunities throughout our organizations. Diversity is core to everything we do, and there are few issues on which our clubs and our internal leadership teams spend more time. We will defend against these claims, which are without merit. We now welcome in former longtime Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis. Coach, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate your time. Please tell me, what was your reaction to Brian Flores filing this lawsuit?
Well, I obviously got to be supportive of what Brian is saying. I mean, he's the man that's in this, was put in this position that he felt that, he was. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. And he was used that way, both obviously by the Dolphins, that as hard as we work to win football games, that he's asked to lose football games and compromise himself, his integrity, his staff, his players, and so forth. And then secondly, obviously, with the text messages, this is a direct violation of something the NFL has put in place. In Bill's mind, at least, decisions had already been made, and him getting that from the teams. And then now Brian gets that, and he goes in there. But like he said, he had to go. He had to go and show that he was qualified and have an opportunity to become the head coach.
Marvin.
So again, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Marv. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying so. I think in those things, it's very obvious. I don't know how. Those can be disputed.
Marv, when, you're a longtime defensive coordinator, clearly in Baltimore, and your first head coaching job and only job in the National Football League was with the Cincinnati Bengals. Did you go through anything similar to this in terms of the hiring practice where you felt like those interviews prior to Cincinnati was just a waste of your time?
Well, I did interview with the Carolina Panthers before John Fox got the job. And I can recall that we had lost to the Steelers in the second round of the playoffs. And I remember sitting home on Monday, and I think it was Chris Mortensen or someone else reported that Foxy would be named the head coach of the Panthers on Friday. And when I went to work Tuesday, Brian came in and said, hey, I just got off the phone with Ozzie and the Panthers want you to come down and interview for the job. I said, coach, I just heard last night on TV that they're going to name Foxy the coach on Friday. So he goes back, he talks to Ozzie, talks to the people, and I end up going down to Charlotte and so forth and meeting with the Richardson family. And, you know, they said that wasn't true and so forth. And they named John the head coach on Friday. So, you know, I don't know, you know, again, that's the situation I was in. But you have to go. You have to go and prove that you're worthy to become the head coach. And, you know, and it's, you know, you're appreciative of the opportunity. But what was supposedly going to happen ended up happening in that case for sure.
Mm. Coach Lewis, welcome to the show. Good to see you. Let me get right to
it
and ask you this. You've seen what he said about the Denver Broncos. You've seen what Brian Flores said about Stephen Ross and what Stephen Ross was trying to, you know, basically impose his will on Brian Flores and get him to do some things that Brian Flores didn't want to do. You've heard what he said about the text message with Bill Belichick and the New York Giants. And you know what's been going on with the National Football League. What do you find most incriminating against the NFL or the league owners or both based on this lawsuit that Brian Flores has filed against the league and those three teams?
To me, I think, you know, obviously that if the Giants had already made a decision, that's the one that stands out. It's right there. It's within the text message. It can't be denied that if that's where the decision had been made, people from both sides had felt that way. Obviously, the GM came out of the Bills organization and so forth. So they would have information leading to that. So to me, that's the one, and that's what's disappointing, that he then, you know, finds that out prior to him going there to be interviewed for the position.
Not to really belabor this point because I won't, but we all know where I stand, that I was not a supporter of you staying on as head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals when you were there. But I never
appreciate
said
that you put me here.
Yeah. No, I didn't. But that's not a bad spot to be with Coach Herm, no doubt about it. But I never once said you did not deserve to be a head coach in the National Football League. I was just thought it was time for a different voice in Cincinnati. Having said all of that, I want to know first, what does it say to you personally that after the Rooney Rule was implemented in 2003, here we are 19 years later, and instead of there being three head coaches in the National Football League who happen to be black, as it was the case in 2003, there's only one now. I want to know what that says to you. And number two, I want to know, have you received a call for an interview over the last 3.5 years to be a head coach in the NFL?
Well, I have. I've interviewed for 5 jobs since I left Cincinnati and offered a 6th that I just, at that point, wasn't ready to do so. But, you know, I think the thing that, going back to that, Stephen A., that I think you have to understand that whatever you say snowballs. And sometimes you don't know the entire situation that people, these coaches are dealing with within the organization and so forth. And yeah, there may have been time for a new voice, but my voice had to be reinvented a number of different times in Cincinnati. Basically 16 times, but for sure we overhauled things 3 or 4 times within the organization, myself, the staff, and so forth. But the thing that to me is,
respect that,
is you are 100% correct. We have not had progress. Despite the Rooney Rule, there has not been progress. There's been regression, basically, in the entire thing. So I got young coaches, and part of what I was asked to do and brought on by Octagon to help them with career development with coaches, with transition from players to coaching and so forth. And these guys are disillusioned right now. These young minority coaches come in my office here at ASU and I coach, where do I go? How do I feel good about this day to day to day when this is happening and I'm seeing what's happening and where is my opportunity and how am I going to get my opportunity? So to me, that's what's disappointing. And I'm trying to encourage these people. We just got to keep chopping wood. Got to keep grinding, got to keep doing these things the correct way, and then make good. That was my goal, is to make good on these opportunities when they come up for the people that blaze the trail for me.
Marvin, how do we fix it, though? Every year we're talking about chopping wood and stay the course and it's going to happen. Like, How do we finally get over the hump? Other than the obvious, which is really hard, is to buy a team for African Americans and minorities in general. But we need to know an answer to fixing it.
Yeah, I think I wish I could put it into words. How to be fixed? I think this. Let's understand this. These coaches that are being brought on and hired, they don't get to bring that player that makes that engine go wherever they are with them. They have to be able to become a leader of men. They have to have the integrity. They have to be believed in that meeting room, that locker room, that auditorium about their leadership abilities, and be able to lead the men, put the plan in place, put the right coaches in place that can help deal with these young people and pull the best football out of them, and have to be great coaches and teachers. And we have that. The pipeline is full of that, and they're not being given this opportunity. And I just think they have to be given this whole thing about, I'm going to hire this guy because he coached that guy. Well, that doesn't work. It's less than 50% of that or more. And so the percentage of that are not good. And when you become the head coach, you're the head coach of the entire football team, not necessarily just the offense or the defense. Well, and that's the way that works.
I'm going to go back to you for a quick second, and I'm going to call him Coach Key. I'm going to always call him Coach because it's 23 years in the league, so I'm going to call him Coach, okay? 16 years in Cincinnati, went to the playoffs 5 straight years, 6 times in 7 years. I'm bringing all of that up, Coach, to ask you this question. When you say you had 5 interviews, what Brian Flores described as his experience with the New York Giants, how often did you find that to be your experience over the last 3-plus years in the midst of those 5 interviews? And how are you feeling right now as we're sitting here today talking about this subject as an African-American coach who's been around for a long time, won a championship as a defensive coordinator, and still can't find yourself getting another head coaching job in the NFL right now?
Stephen A., I haven't been offered any job in the NFL.
I know.
Good.
Any job. Oh.
And let me point to Hugh Jackson, who has coached every position on offense but the offensive line, and then came back and coached for me on defense and helped us settle the situation and helped mentor a young first-round draft pick in Drake Kirkpatrick, and never been offered another position coaching in the National Football League. So, in my experience with those interviews, I felt sincere. They were sincere in that. I think when I went to Dallas, I knew that I felt that they, you know, from what I could read and gather, that Mike McCarthy may have been their first choice. But I have to go. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, they also had rumored Mike to be the Giants' maybe first choice. So I have to go. I had a good relationship I had with Stephen Jones after serving on the competition committee with him. So I felt very good about that. I thought they were an excellent football team and one that I felt great about the opportunity to be the head coach of. So, you know, in that situation, I have to go and put my best foot forward and show them that I deserve that opportunity. And so I don't feel bad about that in any way that way.
Coach, one last thing before we let you go quickly. I heard Ryan Clark say on the 6 o'clock Sports Center, his visceral reaction was, I'm tired. If you could characterize it in one word, what emotion do you feel when you're reading these allegations and hearing these stories that continue to happen?
I'm very disappointed. You know, I had a long conversation with Vance Joseph Sunday morning. And, you know, when I talk to these coaches around the league, and it's my job I think it's my role to help support them, to help promote them, and help to give them the opportunity to do what I was so fortunate to do for Mike Brown and his family for so long. And so I really feel disappointed for them and frustrated, but we're gonna keep pushing. Key, I don't know what else to do, man. We can't throw in the towel. I can't let the Chris Claiborns of the world and so forth throw in the towel and say that this isn't for me. I got to go do something else. You know, they deserve the opportunity to have the same that Tony, Denny, Brian Billick, you know, helped me get to this position. Bill Cowher helped me get to this position. So influential in my background that I deserve, you know, I deserve the opportunity, or I take that responsibility to help them.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I hope this lawsuit is a catalyst for change as everyone continues to fight the good fight. Coach Marvin Lewis, such a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for
your
perspective. It was illuminating, and please come join us again soon.
All right, Coach.
Thank you.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
More from the big news in the NFL. You can tell Stephen A's passionate about it. Brian Flores had sued the NFL in three teams, the Dolphins, Broncos, and Giants, alleging discrimination regarding his interview process with Denver and New York and his firing last month by Miami. All these teams have negated these claims. There has been a lot of a reaction around the league. Let me read you some tweets. The McCourty twins saying this: Flo has always been a special individual, has been a pivotal part of my career, and I love that I can support him for calling out what we already know. Kenny Stills, the answer is diversity in ownership. Des Bryant writing, I'm going to be real. This gives me courage to speak on my personal situations dealing with the NFL. I never liked how my name got falsely slandered. My narrative was controlled and I had no real guidance. I'm with Brian Flores. Michael Thomas adding, Brian Flores is about to change the game. We're going to bring in a player perspective for this conversation. Jeff Saturday, Kendrick Perkins also here, and Stephen A. Jeff, you got me?
I got you.
Okay, perfect. I want to start with you. How should the players, Jeff, and obviously you were involved with the Players Association for many, many years, pivotal. How should they react to this lawsuit?
I think what they're doing now, speaking out, using their voice and their platform to speak out the best they can. I mean, in reality, we've talked about, look, Roger Goodell doesn't have power in this situation. I mean, he's the commissioner of the league. I mean, when you think about what they've tried to establish and what he and Jeff Pasch and Troy Vincent have tried to create there in the NFL offices, you can't force it. All you can do is voice your opinion and put it out there and stand with Coach Flores and what he's going through. But ultimately, from a player perspective, it's very difficult in these times. It's the, you know, for most guys, it's the off season. We see the season winding down, and I know we got the Super Bowl coming up, but ultimately, this is, man. I'm just telling you, like, this is an ownership issue. All you can do is voice your opinion and your support for what Coach Flores is doing, and ask other coaches to step out in faith and do the same, so that we really can invoke change. But ultimately, it's at the ownership level, and that's the direction that players have to speak to.
Go ahead, KP.
Kendrick, how should the players react, Kendrick?
Well, like they did. But here's the problem that I have. First of all, let me applaud Brian Flores for jumping off the porch, one beat. That's not an easy thing to do. That's first thing first. But here's the problem that I have, and this is what we talk about when it comes down to racism, because this is what it's all about, basically, right, in the NFL. And Stephen A., you and I, even you, Molly, we've been on here talking about the NBA hiring more black coaches, which they did an excellent job of doing this past offseason and in these past 2 years.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to a situation like this, Molly, you just read off a lot of tweets on social media.
Yeah.
And a lot of those tweets, majority or all of them, were from African Americans.
Yes.
In order to start changing the narrative, we got to have white Americans tweet out and support with power, right? So you need the Tom Brady's. You need the Aaron Rodgers. You need the Peyton Manning's, the Eli Manning's. You need those guys to start speaking up and saying it voluntarily, not when they're asked, for example. You know what I mean? So my thing is that the only way that this is going to change is that we need people from other races to step up and start saying things, and not just coming from our own, speaking up for our own. That's where I come at it from a player's aspect.
KP, Kendrick Perkins, appreciate your perspective. Jeff Saturday, always appreciate you, my brother. You know that.
Yes, sir.
Let me say this. I don't disagree with anything that y'all said, except your last sentence, Jeff Saturday, when you said essentially this is all they can do, this is an owner's issue, and all the players could do is let their, you know, speak out. It's not that I disagree with it, but I think that point needs to be illuminated and buffered significantly. And here's what I mean by that, Jeff Saturday. You know, there's a Super Bowl coming up. Mm. Last time I checked, there's a whole bunch of black players on the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Rams. I want to emphasize, I'm not advocating that you don't play the Super Bowl, because I'm one of those guys that pay attention to the documentary series that, you know, you see about somebody, Jeff and KP, like Muhammad Ali, where, you know what, it's 2 hours and about 20 minutes is on him and his politics, and the other hour and 40 minutes is on him fighting. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about Jim Brown, and I'm saying, excuse me, you know what, he stood up, a civil rights activist, if ever there was one. And, oh, by the way, he played, though. And because he played and because Ali fought, that elevated the significance of their voice when they chose to speak. But I want to also point out this visual. We remember when Ali got exiled from boxing. We remember when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, Lew Alcindor and Bill Russell and Curt Flood and Jim Brown and all of these brothers stood, John Wooten and others stood up for Ali while he sat at that table addressing the issue with, you know, Vietnam and not being allowed to box or whatever. Bill Russell was a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Brown was a football player. Curt Flood was a baseball player. You understand? You had black athletes speaking out. They didn't leave it up to the individuals in their respective sport. They stood up in unison because they said, this is bigger than us. What is Brian Flores doing? He's saying, this is bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
This has been happening. This has been pervasive in the sport of the National Football League for quite some time. You know how many brothers in the NBA are friends with NFL players?
Yeah.
When Odell Beckham Jr. went to Los Angeles, right, who was singing his praises? Who was telling everybody he was going to wreak havoc? That was LeBron James. That's what he was talking. He don't play football. Mm. He plays basketball. But he was speaking about Odell Beckham Jr. The list goes on and on and on where you see professional athletes intermingling with one another. So as black athletes, I'm saying don't limit it. Of course the NFL players to speak up. Richard Sherman spoke up about this months ago. We know how brilliant and intelligent this brother is. We know how he articulated his concerns about the practices of hiring black coaches within the National Football League. But I'm saying not just the players themselves in the National Football League. The NBA players need to get involved as well, because we know they got muscle and they got money and they got a voice. And you got to take into account, social justice issues permeated this nation over the last 2 years. What did white America say? We're listening. We want to hear you. And I was the one that came on national television and said the murder of George Floyd, metaphorically speaking, that was what black folks were going off about. It wasn't just about police brutality. It's about the fact that black people religiously have always felt like we've got a proverbial knee on our necks keeping us down. Mm. That's what's been going on. Mm. This is not a football issue. This is a black athlete issue. This is a black coaches issue. And who gets less support than black coaches? Nobody stands up. I'm talking about literally big time. I'm not talking about just giving, saying something nice and supportive or whatever. Nobody seems to stand up and scream about how these black coaches are denied one opportunity after another. And last but not least, have you seen the job that Monty Williams is doing in the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah.
The leadership, the character, and everything with what that organization is going through, the accusations that were leveled mm-hmm. against Ona Sarver, and you still got Monty Williams with the best record in basketball, J.B. Bickerstaff in Cleveland. You got Cleveland, a young squad that's one of the best teams in the NBA right now. You look at Mike Tomlin, 15 years coaching in the NFL, hasn't had one losing season. And he's the only coach. And if he were anyplace else other than Pittsburgh, you trying to tell me he'd keep his job? He'd have been gone. But because Pittsburgh and the Rooneys are the ones responsible for the Rooney Rule, that's why Tomlin has kept his job. And he hasn't had a losing season in 15 years. It's a problem.
It's egregious.
Got to come together.
Hey, Perk and Jeff, can I tee you guys up on something? Because obviously there's lack of integrity in the hiring, and this has gone on far too long. But something that really stood out to me was the allegations of Stephen Ross asking him to tank and how that affects the players, how that affects Brian Flores in his future. As a player, I'll start with you, Perk, and then Jeff, if you can jump in. How do you respond to that? How do the players respond to that issue?
Well, well, it's hard. And what's crazy is, Molly, that's a great question, because guess what? It actually happened to one of my brothers that I played with in the NBA, and Kevin Garnett. See, people don't realize that's when things went south with him in Minnesota. It's because they started to ask him not to pay him, but they started to ask him to sit out games.
Wow.
Because they wanted to tank. Now, it's a completely different situation for us getting paid, but it's almost in the same area, right?
Of course.
Yeah, so that's when KG said.
And that's
said,
KG. Yeah, that's KG a huge
said,
name.
Who, I don't care where we at. I want to play. He's one of those guys that's fully committed, that was fully committed to the game. And so when you see things like this, it's almost like, you know what? It's a sign of disrespect. That's mm-hmm. what it is. It's a real sign. It's real disrespectful, because they saying, basically coming at him and saying, you know what? He's a black guy. I bet you he'll take up on his offer. That's the kind of perception they want to say. Oh yeah, I bet you he'll take this $100,000.
Yep.
He'll take this.
That's a great point. But the other point is, you go to the black coach to do that, then his record is trash, and then you use it as an excuse to justify firing him and basically, you know, compromising his future opportunities
right.
because of the record that you assisted or implored him to capture.
I just want, Jeff, I wanted to ask you this, and I appreciate you standing up and speaking, because,
Jeff,
like I said,
does.
Coming from you, it sings a different song. But when you look at a guy like a former players that are on the networks like Troy Aikman and Tony Romo, if they're constantly screaming this out about this, what's going on in the NFL for us black coaches not being hired and things to that nature, Jeff, do you think that sings a different song? Am I right here? Like Tom
yeah.
Brady speaking out, Aaron Rodgers speaking out, like these people of power that got a real voice in a whole nother, you know, culture or different race.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Listen, I think this is, I mean, for me, when you talk about the 32 owners of the NFL teams, they ain't listening to many people, right? Like, so to your point, it takes all of us collectively, you know, to singing the same song. And the reality is, it's a joke what's happened in the NFL with having one black head coach. And it's not just that. It's offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, quarterback coaches, general managers, presidents of teams, and all the different, you know, all the different areas of power in our game. And we know that's the pipeline for guys to ascend in organizations. And so, when I look at this, it saddens me that Brian Flores had to step out and do this. I mean, when you think about how helpless this man had to feel, this is a guy who's been at 20 years, man. Like 20 years of sowing and working through the Patriots organization, gets his head coaching job, has a winning record with the Dolphins, even after the owner has allegedly asked you to tank games, and then gets an opportunity to go and interview, and it's alleged that he's, you know, that his interview was basically worthless. Like, how disingenuous and disrespectful is that? And when you think about people, this is not a guy who is going to stand on this without merit. I'm just telling you, I've asked a number of different people around the league and around the game about him and his character and the traits that he carries himself by. This is a stand-up dude, man, and that he's going and that he's talking about the change that needs to be required of the interview process of itself, the notes that need to be taken, the transparency that needs to go. This is far beyond monetary for him. He understands that he wants hearts and minds of people changed. And to your point, Perk, sometimes it takes collective voices that everybody's singing the same thing. Hey, listen, we need it. And here's the crazy part, is every player I know, we've had, because I was fortunate. I played for Tony Dungy and Jim Caldwell, two black head coaches. Went to two Super Bowls, by the way, with two black head coaches.
Hey.
So I know how successful these guys, and I'm still champion for Jim Caldwell to get a job. This guy deserves another job in the game. He got fired by Detroit. Unfortunate circumstances that I think were bogus. But at the end of the day, it takes all of us collectively saying it's ridiculous. I mean, open your eyes. You can see it. This is not, you know, some kind of thing that it's under the rug. This is out blatant, out in the open, and that nothing has changed. It's just frustrating. I can't imagine sitting in the seat of Brian Flores and his family. It's devastating, because I can't imagine how helpless this man, and he is gifted, and he is charged to coach, and that he's not getting the opportunity. It should piss everybody off.
I'll end it by saying this, because it's so profound, and it really relates to Jeff Saturday and what he just said. Years ago, a Hollywood star told me that ABC was about to do a town hall meeting on the issue of race and racism in the United States. Okay. And they wanted him to be a part of it. And he turned it down. And here was the reason. Nothing against ABC whatsoever. He said, I'm tired of black folks being asked about it. Who the hell doesn't know where black people stand on racism? Mm. We all know. Right. He said, I'm interested in a town hall where the white folks who are that way have to explain why they think that way, why they act that way, why they behave that way, why they impose their or try so hard to impose their wills. Not everybody, because not everybody white is like that. But he said they need to explain, those who are that way need to explain why they are that way. That's where true, true change takes place. When somebody gets to address them for their iniquities. And in this case with NFL owners, it's some, not all, but it's some of those billionaire owners who clearly don't like being told what to do.
Yeah. They know who they are.
Yes.
In a sense, it's characterized as a black problem, but it's actually a white problem. Mm. That's really what all this is.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to First Take. Good afternoon in some parts. Brian Flores has sued the NFL on three teams, the Dolphins, Broncos, and Giants, alleging discrimination regarding his interview process with Denver and New York and his firing last month by Miami. All those teams have released statements denying those allegations in the lawsuit. Flores alleges that Dolphins owner Stephen Ross attempted to incentivize him to tank shortly after he was hired in 2019, with Ross allegedly offering Flores $100,000 for every loss that season. Additionally, Flores alleges that Ross pressured him into recruiting a prominent quarterback at the end of the 2019 season, which the coach refused so as not to violate the NFL's tampering rules. Here's Flores earlier on Get Up.
You know, that was a conversation about not doing as much as we needed to do to win football games. You know, take a flight, go on vacation. I'll give you $100,000 per loss. Like, those are just the, you know, exact words. That's just not in my DNA. That was never going to happen.
So what did you say to him?
That's never going to happen. I didn't come here. Look, I'm always going to try to win. That's just, that's who I am. And I owe that to the players in the locker room, but also the support staff that's in the building. I would never do that to them, you know. And at the end of the day, I think it was the reason why I'm no longer there.
On that note, we welcome in Robert Griffin III to the show. And Robert, thank you so much for being with us this morning. And I want you to go wherever you want to go with this. What really stood out to you the most and you're most hot on here with this whole lawsuit?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, first you got to tip your hat to Brian Flores. When you talk about the situation in Miami where they're asking him, or he's, you know, alleging that they asked him to tank and get paid $100,000 per loss, you know, that's infecting the integrity of the game, right? The players who put in so much time to make it into the NFL, the coaches who put so much time into preparing their players, and then to ask the head coach to not work as hard so that they can maybe get a better draft pick is really just impacting how some people view the game of football. You know, I know the NFL, they preach this when you're a player, when you first get in there, that the integrity of the game means everything. The shield will always protect the shield. And in this case, you hope that the shield starts to protect the legacy, its own legacy of inclusion with black players and black coaches being able to get to the highest level of the coaching ranks. But, you know, effectively, I said this yesterday, Brian Flores ended his NFL career as a head coach because of filing this lawsuit. And it's sad because he's doing something that's bigger than himself. And I think everybody would agree that, you know, the NFL kind of avoids hiring black head coaches like some people avoid wearing masks. It could be the best thing for you. It can protect you. When it comes to NFL coaching, they just don't want to get it done. And I have to say that I don't want to take this away from a guy like Brian Daboll or any other white coaches out there, because they work their tails off to get in the positions that they're in, and they have earned those opportunities. But the facts are clear that black coaches are not awarded the same opportunities as their white counterparts, right? Black coaches are you know, they take longer to get hired, they get fired faster, and these NFL organizations, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they're regulated to kind of go through the coaching ranks a second time, and they're looking for that second opportunity to be a head coach after they get fired, kind of like a stimulus check out there. So the way I look at it, when you talk about the facts of the case, Tony Dungy, Jim Caldwell, Brian Flores, all these guys were fired after having a winning season. Steve Wilks, David Culley were both let go after one season. When you talk about second chances, Anthony Lynn, Todd Bowles, Marvin Lewis, Raheem Morris, Leslie Frazier, Vance Joseph, none of these guys have gotten second opportunities. Jim Caldwell did, but then he got fired for being a winner. So the way that I'm looking at this is, how long do black coaches have to continue to play the good soldier? They're not getting opportunities, and something has to be done about it.
No, absolutely. And unfortunately, Robert, we're out of time, but I really appreciate you giving us all those concrete examples. That was very powerful, and all those names. So short interview for us, but very impactful. So appreciate your time, and we hope to have you back soon. And I just want to end this to what he was saying. Brian Flores, the Miami Dolphins started the season 1-7, ended at 8-1. That has never happened in NFL history. So like you alluded to, ending on a high note there. Robert Griffin III, thank you so much for your time. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
Okay, Stephen A., now I want to get your thoughts on my team, the New York Football Giants. Obviously, we know the history, never hiring an African-American coach, the last to start a black quarterback, and now this alleged text conversation where there was lack of integrity, allegedly, in the hiring of Daboll, and the Flores' interview was a sham. How should we view the New York Giants?
They're the problem. They're emblematic of the problem that exists within the National Football League as it pertains to African-American coaches. Now, they did have an African-American GM in Jerry Reese. Lewis Riddick, our very own Lewis Riddick, was a finalist for the GM job that was he ultimately lost out on in favor of Dave Gettleman. We see how that worked out. But when it comes to African-American coaches, it's something that they're highly reluctant to do. And their 100-plus year history as a National Football League team, these guys have never hired a black coach. And they're pretty much the only team in the National Football League that has not done so. This is not aspersions against Daboll. Brian Daboll was the offensive coordinator in Buffalo. He was there for 4 years. He's proved himself to be very, very capable at his job. We'll see what he does as a head coach, but we wish him luck, and he's definitely paid his dues, so there's no knock against him. But the organization with which he works for, with Mara and Tish and these guys, when it comes to African-American head coaches, this is what we have to understand. When you're a GM, you have to go and answer to ownership anyway because you're making deals and you're spending their money. But when you are a coach, the day-to-day of coaching your team and leading men is really your responsibility. They got some influence, but it's minimal on a day-to-day basis for a coach. So when you're reluctant to hire an African-American head coach. What you're saying is in a league 70% black, we don't trust these black men to be leaders of men. And nobody typifies that thinking more so than the New York Giants.
All right. I wish I could respond. We are out of time. When we come back here, I have a very personal question I'd like to ask you as a black man, if that's okay.
Sure.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Stephen A., I want you to take the final 2 minutes here to tell me this. Mm-hmm. As a black man, seeing this lawsuit, seeing these allegations, these same issues over and over and over, no progress, actually taking steps backwards, how do you feel?
It's disappointing, as Marvin Lewis put it, Coach Marvin Lewis put it. It's definitely exhausting, as Ryan Clark articulated. But it's what we go through. I mean, the reality of the situation is when you're black, you're operating behind the eight ball even in 2022. And unlike a lot of folks from my community who are incredibly frustrated and annoyed, and I shared those feelings, there is a part of me that's very happy. Because, see, I like when things come to light. I like when a bright light is shined on an issue and it is unavoidable. What he said about Stephen Ross is going to have to answer those claims. What he said about the New York Giants, they're going to have to answer that. The NFL, they ain't getting past summary. You're not getting past summary judgment. This is going to get pushed. It's going to get noticed. And as a result, it's going to leave all of us talking and shining a bright light on the National Football League and some of the shenanigans that are really going on. I find that to be a plus. The only thing that I want to say is this. All these social justice issues that we attacked, and it was valid and legitimate, but we saw players in the National Football League and players in the NFL addressing that. This is an issue, too. This is an issue to protest about. This is an issue to speak about. This is an issue to come together as athletes, black athletes everywhere, and say we got to do something about it. It's worth it, and I hope that they do just that. And I certainly will bring noise.
Yeah, and I just want to applaud Brian Flores for his courage and what that touched today. We'll be back tomorrow.